Good afternoon, Central Indiana. You're tuned to 91.9 FM, WITT, the home of unpredictable music. And it's 4:30 on Wednesday, July 29th. And that means you're tuned to the Indy's Trusted Servant Show, which you can listen to every Wednesday at 4:30 on 91.9 WITT. With your host, myself, Danny O'Malley, Indy's Trusted Servant. What is Indy's Trusted Servant? Well, I do customer service training and keynote speaking about customer service and also about organizational culture, all of which I learned at the hand of the master, my late father, Joe O'Malley, the founder of O'Malley Food Markets, back in the day. If you'd like to learn more about all of that, why, give me a call at 317-413-9062. What's the Indy's Trusted Servant Show? Well, I like to describe it as lively, local, small biz and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And today, my guest is a new acquaintance, Jeff Kuhn, one of the co-owners of an organization called Ripcord Events, which is an event planning organization. Also, an owner of an event venue in Shelbyville called Hidden Brook Acres. We're going to talk about both of those things and what the coronavirus has meant to both of those things. But before we do that, let's get to know Jeff just a little bit. Jeff, tell us about your background, your education, and how you came to be in the event planning business. And I know, ironically, since we're on the radio, some of this has a little bit to do with radio.
Sure, it does. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you.
Just tell you a little of my background. I was born and raised in Shelbyville, Indiana, and grew up, went to school at Waldron High School, small county school in Shelby County. After high school, I graduated and went to University of Indianapolis, where I majored in communications and PR and had a minor in business administration. My first internship was with WFMS Radio. So I went into the radio business and worked in the promotions and marketing department there.
And about what year would that have been?
That would have been 2003 or four when I had my internship. And then they hired me on full time after I had graduated college.
So what did they have you doing?
I was in promotions department, working on promotions and events and with some of the marketing. So working on all the concert events they did, station broadcast events, and all the promotions and things that you hear on air as well. Then after I left WFMS, I went to the 500 Festival, which got me more, a little bit deeper into the event world. Plan a lot of those events you're familiar with in a normal month of May, with the mini marathon and Community Day and Kids Day and all those things that you're all familiar with if you're locals to Indianapolis. Was there for about three seasons and then was pulled back into the radio world to be in marketing again for WZPL and the Smiley Morning Show. Worked for that crew for about 5 years and started as promotion director and eventually, before I left, was the marketing and events director for the cluster of stations there.
Okay.
And then briefly left there and was at Gannett for a short time, about 8 months. I was there in charge of their digital loyalty program for Indianapolis, Louisville, and Cincinnati markets and kind of helped put together the insider program.
In other words, I'm being a little facetious here. I'm a big critic of Gannett and what the Indianapolis Star has become. In other words, you're trying to get people to subscribe over the internet.
Right? Yeah, that as well. And then kind of giving benefits to those subscribers through the insider loyalty program. So,
sure.
There'd be contests and giveaways and little perks for being a subscriber.
So you left there and you were approached by an event management company.
I was approached by my previous employer, which is an event management company. And we did a lot of corporate events, some here in town, but for the most part, we were outside of town all over the country.
Okay. You guys were located here, but the events were everywhere.
Correct. Working for a large national brands, some you might recognize, like White Castle and Rheem and Rude and the Home Depot, doing events across.
What kind of event for a Home Depot, for instance? Everybody can relate to
sure.
that.
Sure. So for the Home Depot, this was a conference for all of their service providers in the HVAC and water heater area.
Okay.
So all their service providers were invited to come in to get together, to learn about their relationship with Home Depot, see what's changing, trying to encourage them to do more sales with Home Depot brand.
Gotcha.
And so it was normally a multi-day conference with general session speakers and trade shows and cocktail receptions and breakout sessions.
And your job was to set that whole thing
exactly
up, including getting the speakers, I tell
you? Some of the speakers were brought in from Home Depot, but yes, securing all those details
yeah, okay.
As far as their AV needs, what food and beverage we wanted on site, working on the trade show area, registration, all those kinds of things, and yep. logistics on the back end.
A lot of organizational stuff.
Yes, lots of organizational stuff. So I was there for a few years, and then I met my current co-workers, Randon McMaster and Lindsay Hendren, and we all worked together there. And then ultimately, we all found ourselves exiting that organization and said, what's next? And so we launched Ripcord Events.
In what year?
That was in February of 2019, so still fairly new.
Very new.
We had our first year was wonderful. We had a lot of stuff going on. Met a lot of new people, had a lot of new clients, and doing event management, design, and consulting.
Were you able to bring some of your existing clients with you?
Well, we're working on that. We had some lots of calls. We were under non-competes for a short time afterwards. We had about a year, and you know, we worked through that, and it was January. We were out of those non-competes, and then suddenly,
boom,
coronavirus hit, and that obviously that's changed the events world drastically. So.
So how many different events did you have on paper that didn't happen, would you say?
Oh, man. What was actually on paper, probably 6 or 7, and then probably another good 5 or 6
in the
negotiation
pipeline.
Contracts, things were coming up. Most of those were here, but we were doing some work with a client out of L.A., so we were going to be supposed to be traveling out there in a few weeks here in August to go do an event out there, which is now turned virtual, and they didn't need our assistance in the way that they thought they were going to. So
yeah. So I want to get into the Hidden Brook Acres thing later, but let's stick with Ripcord here for a bit. It's just the three of you, right?
Yes.
So where do you go from here? I mean, I know in my speaking engagements thing, I've either got to go virtual or wait till people are doing events again.
Right.
Right? Is that where you are?
It is. I mean, that's a conversation that we have weekly as far as what are we doing now? You know, our world, like most other industries, has been shaken by all of this. So, you know, we're doing our best to pivot into virtual events and helping people produce, you know, what you would normally do in person, trying to make that as compelling and entertaining as can be virtually. We're working with a client now who typically, it's a nonprofit here locally called the Indiana Blind Children's Foundation. They support all the efforts that go on at the Indiana School for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Okay.
They're kind of the philanthropic arm of the school, and they do an annual fundraising gala, and we are working with them to switch that virtual this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to look a little bit different, going to feel a little bit different, like everything else in our world these days, but we're looking forward to it, and that's going to be one of our first big virtual events that we've done.
Interesting sidebar, and one of the people that have sponsored us the last couple of years, Cathedral High School, I'm really involved in there, and one of their big events every year is a recruitment event for
mm-hmm.
students, an open house in the fall, and they've already decided, and they convince a lot of people who've never been there and bring their kids on campus for the first time, and they're greeted by the existing students, and they see everything that there is to do there, and so on and so forth, and they decide to come there with that.
Sure.
And they are going to do it virtual this
mm-hmm.
year, and they're hoping to duplicate what they've been able to do before, but we won't know until it's done.
Right.
Right?
I mean, it's tough. It takes a lot of creativity and a lot of ideas, and hopefully the ideas that, you know, you come up with are going to come across well virtually, but you kind of just don't know.
Or better than the competitors
Absolutely.
Who are out there trying to do the same
Absolutely.
Thing. Right? So it's a whole new world out there.
And we've also shifted a little bit more into, okay, in our title is also design. Randon on our team is an incredible graphic designer. Can do everything from your normal logo creation, website development, branding pieces to 3D event design. So we've kind of shifted and saying, okay, we all know the event world is kind of dead currently in the normal sense, but we can still help you with virtual events. We can help you with graphic design. We can help you with social media marketing, other marketing initiatives. So kind of just trying to pivot into those other areas that we have, you know, familiarity in, but are not necessarily what we started out to be doing with Ripcord. But like everybody else, we're pivoting and trying to do what we can. So
okay, this is a good spot to take our first break and thank our sponsor. I'm sorry, our hosts for the studios of 91.9 FM and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show and all that unpredictable music, and that is My Pet Carnivore, a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staff distribute healthy frozen dog and cat food mainly. There's a few other pets involved in this, but I don't want to go too far beyond dogs and cats because I'll forget some animal group. But they distribute it to pet owners only in 48 states. So I got to figure, as busy as this place is with trucks buzzing in and out of here, and 48 states, this stuff must be pretty good pet food. We want to thank them for hosting the studios of 91.9 FM. Listen for the Indy's Trusted Servant Show every Wednesday at 4:30 on 91.9 FM, online at 919WITT.org, or if you miss a show, you can go to Open in Indiana, just Google it, and find my podcasts of my shows dating back to October of last year, which includes some awfully interesting shows. Next week's guest will be Aaron Stanton of Elevate Indianapolis. And what they do is help inner city kids negotiate school, drugs on the street, and all of that stuff. So be sure to listen next week for Aaron Stanton of Elevate Indianapolis. And then back to our friend Jeff Kuhn with Ripcord Events and Hidden Brook Acres, an event venue out in Shelbyville. Was there anything else you wanted to say about Ripcord before we go to Hidden Brook Acres?
I don't think so. I think that kind of covers, you know, what we do and kind of how we're transitioning through these tough times.
Why don't you tell the folks how they can find you guys?
Sure. You can get more information about Ripcord Events at www.ripcordevents.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias.
Okay. Super. So let's talk about the Hidden Brook Acres. Now, had you opened that before you got into Ripcord, or was that after you got into Ripcord?
We're on our fifth season now with Hidden Brook Acres. To kind of a little bit of backstory on that.
I take it there's some history involved.
A little bit of history there. Okay. I bought some property out in Shelby County, the 10-acre plot of land out in the country after I'd lived in Indy for, you know, 8 or 9 years after college, and kind of decided I was ready to get back out in the country a little bit, miss some of that, you know, growing up home stuff. And I bought this plot of land and had an old barn on it. The intention was just to build a house out there one day, and knowing that at the time I wasn't quite ready to do that yet, I said, what am I going to do in the meantime with this ground? Am I going to rent it to a farmer, or am I going to, you know, what are we going to do?
What kind of shape was the barn in when you bought it?
It's in pretty good shape. Okay. It's about 40 years old. It was a horse barn, so it still had stalls in it. It still had some old farm equipment. There were a couple critters living in there. But we took the old barn and you know, we had some friends of mine ask, you know, if they could get married out at the barn.
Hadn't even thought of an event venue.
I hadn't
yet.
Thought of that, no.
Okay.
I know that barn weddings were kind of a popular thing. The trend was on the rise.
Been to a couple
and,
of them.
You know, I said, you know what? That's a thing that I could do. I've handled many larger events, so surely I can handle some weddings. And so that kind of got the idea going. We put things out there in 2015. And in the fall, we had our first two weddings. And, you know, they went great.
The fall of 2015.
Fall of 2015, yes. And so started booking for 2016, and we went from two in 2015 and had a full season of 25 through April to October.
That's every other weekend.
It was every weekend through the warmer months of the year in 2016. So, you know, we added a new pole barn on site that has restroom facilities, bridal suite areas. I actually moved out and I live in the other portion of the pole barn in the apartment that we built in there until we're building our house currently on site. So
now you told me you were living in Fountain Square now.
My business partners live in Fountain Square.
Okay, and so that's where your office is.
Ripcord Events works out of their house.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're over on Woodlawn.
So you live out in
But I live out there on site for the weddings and events, which works out great. We are getting ready. This weekend we'll have our 92nd wedding that we've hosted on property in five seasons. So,
and you had said that you had already had your first post-coronavirus just recently.
We did. Right? We had our first wedding of the season this year on July 4th, which was odd. We usually start in April, and so we would have had several under our belts for the year by July, but July was our first wedding. And obviously, like everything, it looked a little bit different. We had a smaller crowd. We distanced things.
I was going to ask you if it was in the planning stages before Corona hit, if I know my weddings. I've had three daughters get married.
Of course you do then.
So I'm guessing, what was the number of people that were going to attend before and that actually attended?
Well, so this one on July 4th, we actually did not have booked until about June 1st.
The
bride called and said, we're in trouble. Our venue is permanently closing, and we need a place to go. Can you help us out? I said, absolutely, we're available. I actually went to high school with this gal that's the bride, and said we'd be happy to help. had her come out, set things up. And at that point, they knew that they were going to have to, you know, cut things down from their original size. And they weren't planning on a big affair to begin with. So I don't know if they had to adjust things too much. I think maybe, you know, you send out your invites.
How many
and
folks attended, would you say?
We had about 60.
Okay.
60 folks. And I think they'd planned on maybe, you know, 80 or 90. So
they didn't have to cut back too much.
Sure. But obviously, this weekend we have an event coming up, and it's at 140, and our barn inside the capacity is about 150. So we've had to, you know, use some outdoor spaces, add some tenting so that we can spread out.
And you have to pray for non-rain.
Pray for non-rain. We do that every weekend when we have an event. However, a little bit more now that we're using some of those outdoor spaces and relying on those due to, you know, coronavirus. Now the mask mandate is in place as well, so that's changed things a little bit, where everybody in attendance is required to wear a mask as well.
Unless they're eating, right?
Unless they're eating or drinking, yep. So that's kind of changed things, and, you know, it's not ideal for anybody, but it's kind of...
Everybody has to live with the same rules. So was that one in the pipeline before Corona?
That one was, yes. That's been, you know, I think they booked probably about a year ago. So we've been working with them for the past year to kind of put together the pieces and the plans and things. We've had to change a little bit. And they're actually one of the rare ones. Usually my brides and grooms are calling me saying, we invited about, you know, 100 people, and now we think only 60 are coming. This is a rare one where they said, now we think we're going to have more people than what we originally expected. So
that's interesting. But I do know that people are chomping at the bit to get out.
Yep.
Right? And if they can wear a mask and get out and enjoy an event with friends, that's what that's all about.
Absolutely.
Right?
So it's going to be interesting. We're going to be, you know, setting up ceremonies are going to look a little bit different, with a little bit more distance between folks that are out there. Our aisles are going to be a little bit wider so that the bride and bridal party can come down without any risk there of being too close to people. You're just doing what we can. We've got a plexiglass shield up in front of our bar, just kind of safety, like you'd see at any of your retailers that you're out and about at.
So many restaurants have a plexiglass shield at the stand,
sure,
you know, where you talk to the girl about getting a table. Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting, but you know, we just have to pivot and change and it's not ideal, not the ideal plan, but we just do what we can to make it work and make sure that we're doing it so everyone can continue to be safe.
Here's a marketing question. How differently do you market the weddings from the Ripcord events side?
Weddings are easier to market. Brides and grooms are looking for venues, so, you know, we put it out on Facebook. We've done some Facebook advertising. Word of mouth has been great for us. But other than that, we haven't had to do a ton of marketing for Hiddenbrook Acres, just because if you want a barn wedding, you're looking for a barn wedding, so you can, you know, Google barn weddings in Indiana.
You're not going to go to the Indiana
roof. Absolutely. So, you know, people have come to us a lot. We've done some marketing initiatives as well. But for Ripcord, on the other hand, there's a lot of event management companies around, whether they're local or in other states that groups can work with. So that one's been a little bit different, where we're constantly, you know, hitting the pavement, talking to people, networking constantly. That's how I met you, was through a networking event, through
a mutual friend. Yeah.
And then cold calling on new clients as well. So it's been quite different as far as marketing goes.
I had a question in my mind that just slipped away from me concerning the weddings. I know what it is. So do you cater the food, or if somebody wants to bring a certain caterer on board, do you allow that?
We do. We allow that. We're kind of open vendor policy at our venue. As long as it's a licensed and insured vendor, you can bring in, you know, whomever you'd like, if you've got a favorite caterer.
But you don't do the catering.
We don't
yourself.
Do it personally, but I'm happy to provide suggestions of folks if you don't know.
Okay, you've only done two weddings, but what have you heard from the caterers about how able they are to get enough people to work for them?
Catering is a little bit different. I mean, you know, obviously buffets, the typical buffet that you think of is something that we're not really doing too much of. We're serving the food. Your guests will come through, grab their plate, and someone will stand behind, and that we're not having all those hands touching the serving utensils. So that's different. Requires more staff from the catering teams.
That's what I was thinking.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's been a little bit tough. Obviously with the food safety guidelines, I've offered, I can hop in and help, but you can't do that in, you know, with food safety. They have to have people on their team who they know are healthy, who are not sick, to come out and serve those food. So it's been a little bit of a challenge. We've had lots of conversations with the different caterers that we work with to make sure what their policies and procedures are, and make sure that those match up with what we're looking to do from a safety standpoint. And for the most part, everybody is on board and doing, everyone seems to be doing the right thing in the business.
You're finding a lot of good teamwork
right? Absolutely.
That's good to hear. So we're going to take one more break before we finish up with Jeff Kuhn from Ripcord Events and Hiddenbrook Acres mostly wedding venue. And I suppose you could have other kinds of events there too, out in Shelbyville. We want to thank our host for the studio here at 91.9 FM and all that unpredictable music and the Indies Trusted Servant Show. Russ, what's the name of your show again?
Indiana Nocturne.
Yes, Indiana Nocturne. It was on the tip of my tongue. And the DAC radio show for dogs as well.
Hey, you better get Indiana Nocturne correct, because in a future week here, we've got that special show coming up with the Beach Boys and the Beatles, two of our favorite groups.
Yeah, and we're each going to pick our own favorite Beach Boys and Beatles songs, which not necessarily I saw her standing there.
There'll be a few twists, too. I have the German version of She Loves You.
Oh, God, I can't wait to hear that again. Well, we want to thank the host for the studio here, and that is My Pet Carnivore, a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staff distribute healthy, frozen pet food, mainly dog and cat food, to pet owners only, not stores, in 48 states. You can noodle yourself what two states they might be in, not in yet, but I wouldn't put it past them. The stuff must be pretty good. We want to tell you that next week's show will feature my fellow Indianapolis Rotarian, Aaron Stanton of Elevate Indianapolis. And basically, what Elevate Indianapolis does is help inner city students navigate academics and the drug culture and all the other challenges that they might have. So that's a very worthwhile organization that you will want to hear from next week on Wednesday at 4:30. So back to Jeff Kuhn with Ripcord Events and Hidden Brook Acres. On Hidden Brook Acres, do you have any more weddings in the pipeline right now?
We do. As of now, things are seeming to be changing daily with all the, you know, coronavirus news. However, we do have weddings scheduled pretty much every weekend from this weekend through the end of October.
That's awesome.
We've had a couple of just recently postponed into 2021. So a few dates
some of those
up
that you've got scheduled postponed from an earlier date.
Yeah.
And maybe the venue is not doing weddings now.
Correct. So we've had a lot of shuffling around in the industry as a whole, and people moving around, moving just between our open dates, moving from other venues to open dates that we may have, or vice versa. So
one thing that occurs to me, maybe you've done this, maybe you haven't, but I'm really happy for your guys' sake to hear that you're booked up through October. That's awesome.
Yep.
Have you done any calling of event venues that aren't around to see what weddings got kicked off their schedules? You know what I mean?
We've had lots of conversations with other venues and things like that. Not so much about what's not on there, but kind of like, how are you handling this in your area? Like, I have a good friend who runs a venue in Marion County, and Marion County's been under the mask mandate for several weeks now. So asking her, how have you handled that? How have your guests been reacting to that? Have you seen any issues that I can kind of, you know, look out for?
Okay. So, here's a question for the one you just had. Mm-hmm. What percentage of folks were wearing masks?
At that one, it was pretty low. I would say 10% maybe had masks, and it seems like they had them early once dinner was over, and they might have had a few beers or a few drinks.
They took it off and it might have
had it in their pocket. However, at our venue, the benefit to a venue kind of like ours is that we have a lot of outdoor space. So most of those people took their chair and went and sat outside where they were properly distanced, and I felt comfortable.
To a group of people, but they're distanced.
We had several large circles of chairs, and folks were apart so that they didn't have to have their mask on.
That's a huge venue of being out in the country that you didn't even think of
With the 10 acres that we have, it comes in handy. We can set your ceremony up to spread across the whole venue if we need to. So we've got plenty of space.
So Hidden Brook Acres, is there a creek running through there?
There is a small creek that runs down through the edge, a little bit of a wooded area of our creek. That's kind of obviously where the name kind of came from. It's more of a field tile runoff, but it's a little creek for most of the year. Right now it's probably pretty
dry.
But
it's not part of the landscape of the wedding.
No, not too much.
Okay. Because I thought that would be a nice touch.
We do get a lot of photographers that take the couples down and get near the water where they can in the wooded area and kind of get some really cool pictures down there, but it's not right up next to the barn or anything.
Yeah, okay, great. So the barn itself, you said it was built in 1940. That's a relatively new barn, really.
It's about 40 years old. So
40
it was
years
built,
old, so 1970s. 1980s.
Yep.
Okay, it's a really new barn.
Yeah, not too bad. There's a lot of venues, you know, like ours that are much, much older, 100-year-old barns that they've, you know, fixed up to make work nicely. There's a lot of them that are newer, new constructions as well, that they've built to look like an old barn. The benefit to ours, I mean, we didn't have to put in a ton of overhead to kind of get it fixed up. There's a lot of work and a lot of cleaning and a lot of scooping of things that were there. but it did... you know, it allows us to keep that very rustic feel, and people can bring in lots of decorations, or they can keep it pretty simple, and you know, it looks great either way. So,
and at your venue, is it what do you do about serving liquor at your venue?
Sure. So we have permits that we can serve beer and wine with temporary beer and wine permits through the venue. We kind of started picking that up a few years ago, more from a liability standpoint.
Okay.
However, we can work with outside bar services. We always make sure that we have all of our appropriate excise permitting, servers permits, insurance, all that kind of stuff in place from those servers.
So if somebody using outside, they could do a full bar.
Absolutely. Yep.
They can.
Yes.
They want to use you, it's beer and wine.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Of those weddings coming up, and maybe you don't know this, how many of them are using the outside venue for the full bar versus doing you guys for beer and wine? And are any of them alcohol-free?
This year, I don't know of any that are alcohol-free. I think we all might need an extra beer or two this year just to make it through.
You might have a point.
However, we have probably three or four that I can think of off the top of my head without looking at my files that are using outside bar services. And then the majority of the others are using our services.
Yours. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, you've given them a choice there, and
yes,
that's always good with your customers.
And we try to offer it a little bit of a discount. Like I mentioned, we're not in it to make money as a bar service. We're in it to kind of, you know, cover ourselves from a liability standpoint. So hopefully that helps out with price for some folks as well.
Do any of these weddings that are upcoming, are they bringing bringing bands in, and how do you handle all that out in the country there?
Most are DJs. We had some that have some basic live performances for their ceremony. We had a keyboardist out. We have someone who's coming that has a violinist that's just going to play during the ceremony, and then it transitions to a DJ for, you know, the reception and the dancing and things like that.
And you don't have any trouble with noise ordinance. You got 10 acres.
We've got plenty of space. We just make sure that by 11 p.m. we end receptions, turn off the music at that point, just to make sure that our neighbors are always happy with us. So
what is the closest neighbor? That's you know, most wedding venues wouldn't have neighbors, you know.
Sure. We have a neighbor kind of diagonal across. I mean, they're probably a half mile down the road. We have one that's about a quarter mile down the road the other way. So
it's a ways off.
There's a lot of farm fields around us, and so we've got lots of space, and we do our best to, you know, to respect those folks as much as we can.
So how do I find out about Hidden Brook Acres?
Sure.
I'm looking at having maybe a wedding reception or another event?
You can get more information at HiddenBrookEvents.com. HiddenBrookEvents.com, or again, we're on Facebook at Hidden Brook Acres, or you can email me, Jeff@HiddenBrookEvents.com.
Jeff@HiddenBrookEvents.com.
Correct.
What do you want to add in about 30 seconds about either Ripcord Events and or Hidden Brook Acres?
You know, I think I just want to say what I just talked to a friend on the phone about who's in the event business. You know, we had to tell each other, hang in there. You know, the event business is tough, whether it's weddings, whether it's corporate, whether it's whatever. We're all going through a tough time. We're all going through it together. So anybody out there, hang in there. We're going to all make it through this. So just keep your head up, and we'll get through it.
Jeff Kuhn, Ripcord Events and Hidden Brook Acres of Shelbyville, thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for
having me. Don't forget, next week, Aaron Stanton of Elevate Indianapolis. We'll see you then.